Hello.
Hey, this is Noisemaker.
Hey, Noisemaker, how's it going?
Doing good, how are you guys?
Sean's phone just rang, so you'll have to wait a few seconds here.
Is that the dramatic pause for talking to Sean?
That's exactly right.
Okay, we're back.
How we doing?
Good.
Good, good, good.
Everybody's good?
Almost. Sean just has to pick up his microphone.
Hello?
Wait,
hello.
Wait. Okay.
Okay, I better change my nick in the IRC here. /Nick. Sean interview.
So we don't get disturbed?
That's right.
That
so they won't bother me. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, well, this is pretty weird. It's just weird because, like, we're being interviewed by people who really like us.
Well, I should know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah. Like, well, you must, because I mean, after that last thing with Mark there, who the fuck was
I
it?
I can't remember his name.
What the
Carl.
Fuck is Carl.
It's Carl.
It's Carl. And he was having a hard time there. I was feeling bad for that guy.
I think he lost his place in his questions, and he wasn't sure if what he asked you and what he didn't. So.
Well, he was brutal. I felt so bad for him because I mean, everybody in the IRC was just like murder. They're like rad rom, all up and down the
bloody murder.
So I mean, that's pretty ballsy. I mean, wow, for you to want to do another interview and have your names cast liberally into the IRC for dissection.
Yeah, well, sucks to be us. Yeah.
So who's all there? Is this just Noisemaker or what?
Yeah, this is just Noisemaker.
Okay, cool.
No, but what it is this was actually Ed Fungus's idea, and he decided to petition the idea for us to maybe start doing Skull Crew exclusives, and since we're pretty
Ooh,
well with
Skull Crew exclusives.
Exclusive. So you're going to ask exclusive questions that have never been asked.
This is all Ed Fungus's. Hey, man, I've never even saw these assholes before. Okay, so what's... all right, so, well, let's get it on.
All right, well, we'll just do the typical... You know, what are you guys? Who are you? Can we find you guys?
Human.
That's pretty exclusive.
We are human.
We come from the planet Earth, where we think we say we come in peace, but in actuality, we're just going to give you blankets that are infected. here, have some sheets.
Can that be a thing?
Well, he's Sean. Sean Kennedy.
This is Carl. yeah. I guess, well, let's start with you, Sam. Let's give a rundown of you, who you are, stuff like that.
I'm Sumerian. I started the station 4 years ago. And we've come to this crazy, insane point that we are now.
That's weak. I'm going to ask you questions for your own thingy there. Okay. Because these are the questions that nobody ever asks, which is really, like, fucking gay. Be like,
yeah, I mean, you could.
How old were you when you first got laid, Sim? No, I'm kidding. I was 17, which is kind of late. Most kids are getting laid, like, at 14 now and stuff.
I was a teenager.
Were you a teenager? Were you younger or older than 17? That's pretty general.
That's
all I'm going to say.
Oh, you're so weak. All right, sorry, we got off topic there. Yeah, well, that's
what's
it.
Happening.
So Sim, the station manager of Rant Radio, founded it, all that great stuff, and now Sean, the voice of Rant Radio, and I guess you guys have been in cahoots since the start, or was it Sim? Did you start it beforehand and then kind of drag Sean into it, or what?
Well, the whole thing was actually Sim. I would like to say, it was all my idea. Yeah, Sim didn't do shit. No, and honestly, Sim always wanted to run the station, and when he first told me he was going to do, you know, run it on Shoutcast through Winamp, I thought it was the gayest thing I'd ever heard in my life. I was just
he
like,
didn't quite understand. So, what the hell is that? You're just like talking to one person.
So who's going to listen? All people on the web. Why?
Really?
Why would they do that? Well, because that way they can listen to music. Why don't they just download the music through file sharing software and listen without us talking? Well, because it's funny.
He didn't quite get it.
Really?
Yeah.
So we started doing the rants. It was all about the rants originally. Like,
yeah,
we did all
it was no show. It was just rants. Yeah, well, there was shows, but...
And then one day, Sim calls me up and goes, hey, did you know that every minute of every day someone's downloading your rants from somewhere? And I'm like, fuck off. And yeah, it was, and we just then there because originally there was my show,
yeah,
the Sean Kennedy show way back when,
the original one,
and then there was State of the Station.
That was mine. I was just doing station announcements and stuff.
And then there was Drexel's, which was What the Hell.
That's right.
And then eventually it all Drexel and Sim did What the Hell, and then I came on and took over for Drexel, and then
it just got insane.
Then it went insane, and then it stopped, and then...
And then, yeah, we took a break. We took a break where fuck you. No, fuck you, man. Fuck you, man. It was a whole lot of fuck you, mans. And then after that, it was... we just said, you know what? I missed the radio show. Me too. Okay, well, let's do one. And the Sean Kennedy show was born.
Well, actually, in some response, you know, you mentioned that the rants were kind of start. Why exactly were they removed from the rotation?
I don't know. I have no control over that. That's they, all Sim. Good. I told him not to, but he did it anyway.
Good question. They're old.
Yeah, they are old.
They've been played out. They're done. We haven't done one in a long time. We've moved on, I guess. It's different. We're doing different stuff.
To be honest, right? Like you don't really want to be a one trick pony, right?
That's right.
Like by the same token, I appreciate that people like the rants, and I make the rants available for people to download. It's kind of like
all in the FTP.
I don't want to be like a John Cleese who's like, no, I never want to do Monty Python again because everybody loves it, but I don't want to do it anymore. Mleh, that's not the way it is.
So,
like,
yeah, the last TV show, we're doing video rants now, right?
Exactly, and it's kind of like I kind of ran out of things to rant about, to be honest with you. I mean, how many rants are there? There's like 200
hundreds,
rants.
Hundreds.
That's like a lot of angst going on. You know, I'm getting near 30 now. And
get pissed off about.
Pardon me?
There's only so much shit you can get pissed off about.
Yes, there is, but it's not good for my blood pressure.
that's what his doctor says.
No, I'm just kidding. Well, to be honest, I think a lot of the rants, although they were entertaining, weren't that constructive. Mm-hmm. They didn't really give people any positive direction, and I didn't actually understand the power that the internet had until, like, the rants led to cult, and then cult led to my gradual and depravity insanity and mental breakdown and
stoppage of all things,
stoppage of brain and the black shakes and all the rest of the fun that went with that. But I wanted to do something that was constructive and positive, and that's what actually gave birth to the Sean Kennedy Show, because we talk about a lot of current events and try to keep it fairly entertaining so it's not like a Noam Chomsky show or something. But still,
it is all an evolution. Like, we move from one thing to the next to the next to the next, right?
Yeah. Eventually, I'd like to be a horror writer, but I don't know how I'm going to make that sucker go full circle.
Transition's kind of hard, eh?
Yeah, it's cyberpunk, Victorian horror. No, it doesn't work. So it'll be difficult, but I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. So how exactly has this, since you guys have pretty much become a, I guess, loosely an internet celebrity, how exactly has this fandom affected your personalized and real, you know?
I can't go outside anymore. I'm afraid of people in walkers continuously. To be honest, it really doesn't affect us in daily life. Being an internet celebrity is not like being a real celebrity. You know, it's like certain, you know, you go to the Star Trek convention and a couple people might know your name.
And it's also worldwide, so it's like really spread out. So you can still walk in your own hometown and not get recognized too easily. Like, it's happened here and there. It's like,
yeah, there was one waitress was like, oh, I know you guys, and then we're like, oh, really?
We're just like stunned.
Yeah, we were like, oh, that's really weird. My wife
she was hot though.
Yeah, she was hot. My wife is really, really weirded out by fans. She has a hard time with fans because, like, I guess it was one of the Sabbaths, and this somebody came up and said, oh, so how are you here? And she goes, oh, I'm Sean's wife. He goes, oh, you're the dark one? And she's like, yes, I'm the dark one. And he was like, wow, so what's it like being married to Sean and stuff? And she was just completely weirded out by that. She's like, oh, my God, this is so strange. I don't want to do this anymore.
Really, really weird.
This is weird. So it was fun. It was fun, and it was funny. But other than that, I don't really get off on the whole fan celebrity thing. I think that celebrities that don't let people take their pictures are fucking gay. Like, that's so stupid, you know? Like, what's the big deal? You get out of the car, they take a bunch of photographs, you go, hey, what are you doing?
Put a heads up and run inside.
They knew what they were getting into beforehand,
like,
right?
What
is all this pictures? Why, you
know, how much film are they going to blow on you? Stand there, they'll run out of film, go inside, you know, sit down, have a smoke, whatever, you know.
That's right. Stand there for a couple hours. You done? You done yet?
You done yet? Okay, how about you get a few more shots? You know, I'd make it expensive for the
boring
reporters. Yeah, you know, clickety click, clickety click, click. I don't really understand the whole celebrity status. It's kind of neat. I mean, it's good for the ego to have people like people, especially people who you respect, like Id Fungus and even Smokehouse. I respect him, even though he's a little freak. But
people that are doing way more important things and interesting things than us.
You know, and they go, "Wow, you're really cool." And we're like, no,
you are.
No, you are. I went to EA, Electronic Arts, like the local Vancouver office there. I was walking around in the motion capture department, and one of the guys came over and went, hey, you're Sean Kennedy. I'm like, yeah. And he goes, you do some funny stuff, man. And I'm like, wow, that's really cool that you think so. Wow, that's kind of neat. So that was probably the one person I met who was like a fan, if you can even call it that.
For more people that listen to the show,
you're like amazing. So that's all good, you know. So it's neat because you get respect in the community and stuff, and it's just good to be able to give something out. So you're not just, you know.
Well, has Rant Radio actually affected like your daily life and jobs? I mean,
oh fuck yeah!
It brings our free time to lots from lots to zero.
Yeah. Every time I look at the internet now, I'm looking for stories to relate to people. Every time I oh, how has it affected our lives?
Yeah, well, I mean, have you, like, mentioned it to, say, like, employers or people say, you know, well, what do you do in your, you know, in your free time? Well, I've sucked my life away into an IV tap to the digital medium of entertaining people I'll never see in my life. Or is it, you know, just one of those things that, I do rent radio, but I don't speak too much about it?
Funny story. Yeah. I was doing consultation work with a company, and the Vancouver Sun interview ran. And we were front page, big picture of us and everything.
Yeah, that was a pretty good exposure there.
And
locally, right?
And I'm going into these offices where I'm going to talk to people about computers, and they're like, you know, the Vancouver Sun article's there, and they're like, so, Mr. Kennedy, it seems you lead two lives, you know? And I'm like, holy crap.
We're like angry hacker kind of.
And you're trying to be professional. It's like, so, what about, you know, these Ronin and stuff that work for you? What's that all about? You know, and you're like, ah.
What's this cult thing?
Yeah, that was some interesting backpedaling there. But, other than that, for daily life,
people think it's cool. Other than that, they're like, I don't know, like at my work, they're like, oh, it's kind of interesting. Mostly ignored because I'm just another person to them, right?
Yeah.
And just all of our friends are like, oh, it's cool. Right?
I would say, though, that it does make it, like, we've been doing it for so long now that we're not even aware of how it's changed our life. It's like saying to you, you know, how has the internet changed your life? Well, fuck, you
it's
know.
It's just part of your life. It is your life, right?
Like,
it's,
if Rant Radio wasn't here, we'd be like.
Sitting around.
You know, fuck. We'd be trying to do Rant Radio again, you know.
Yeah,
we're done with Rant Radio. Now we're going to start two radio stations. And, you know, like, it'd just be dumb. So why bother? Yeah.
So what do you think's the best and worst thing about what you do, you know, with Rant Radio?
Ooh, there's
show
a good one.
And all that.
Sim, best and worst.
The worst thing, I don't think there is a worse thing.
Oh, you fucking liar.
There isn't. What could be worse is exactly, I want to do this. If I wasn't doing this, I would be doing this.
Well, I mean, if you didn't, I mean, you know, you put, I mean, all your free time. When you come home from work, you tap into Rant Radio or you tap into Porn on Beta. I mean,
that's exactly right. I fill my void of life with everything like yeah. this. It's like
Sim's pretty single.
I don't have enough time to do all the things that I want.
Yeah.
So it is very filled.
I would say for you, the worst thing for you is having to deal with people's incessant bullshit. People's asking you, "Will you help me set up a shoutcast station?" And
how come my listener pick's not up? I sent it an hour ago.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Oh my God! Come on, I do other stuff.
Yeah, people thinking that they're the only person in the galaxy.
Yeah, I try and make myself available, but
there's a certain
sometimes people are like, I'm too available for them, and
it's hard too because you can't send these guys a letter back saying "fuck off," right? Which is what you want to do, and sometimes you do, but you don't like to do that.
What about for you, Sean? What's your best and worst thing about it all?
The best thing I think about Rant Radio, doing it and stuff. Huge fucking monstrous ego gratification. I mean, you cannot beat the ego stroke that Rant Radio is.
Right.
I mean, my God, you know, but being a little bit more specific, I really enjoy media, because I look at anything that somebody does and sends to us, like Id Fungus, for example, sent me like these drawings, which I've got up on my wall in my house.
Yeah, like
and
real hand drawing, not photocopies.
Like original art and stuff like that. Any kind of art that people do for the site, I look at as gifts. And some people go, well, you know, like even it's on the web and I didn't receive anything physical.
Yeah.
They've made music. That's a gift. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I think that's one of the best things.
Yeah.
It's the inspiration that other people
God.
Get from
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's...
To not just sit there, but actually inspire them to do what they're talented at. As
yeah.
And if they and if we weren't here, maybe they wouldn't have done it. And
I got an email one time from a guy, and this is like your typical, you know, celebrities get these letters and whatever. But I got an email from a guy who had been like really wickedly sexually abused and stuff like this, like total Red Dragon kind of stuff going on here. And he was explaining how Rant Radio helped him out and helped him through this crap. And I'm like, holy shit, dude. Like, I didn't do that. You did that. I didn't help you through this, you know. But the people, you know, there's a lot of people who are searching right now. So sometimes they cling on to things where, you know, there's a voice in the darkness. But the worst thing about Rant Radio is, without a doubt, would be time.
Yeah.
Would be the time. I mean, you know, it's my Monday nights are shot. You know, 1/7 of my life is perpetually flushed. So
yeah, the worst thing about it for me is that I can't do more of it.
Right. What would be your ideal offer to do Rant Radio and even Rant Media? Because I know you're guys are branching into doing video and video stuff and stuff like that.
Well, the whole encompassing of anything we want to do falls under like everything that we do. Like we want to do video and audio and books and
I'm
movies.
I'm sorry,
and
I don't think I understood your question. You just
well,
asked.
Well, what is going to ask was, what would be your ideal offer to do that full time?
Like how much money?
No, I mean, your ideal setup. Somebody came up to you and said, what do you need to do this full time?
Well, we need money.
Money, because we'd have to quit our jobs.
I think that if, oh, shit. Like, to do it full time, I'm in a position now where I could probably let the business go and start doing this full time and stuff like that.
Right.
I'd probably do it for starting with the promise, of course, you know, annual raises and everything. I'd probably do it for about $2,000 a month. Yeah. I think somewhere in
what
there.
What does that work out to?
Well, about $24,000 a year.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's not enough for me. I live an extravagant lifestyle with cars and boats and plane. No.
I mean, if someone were to come up to you and say, okay, we're willing to give you a studio, we're willing to give you everything that you need, and we'll even pay you a salary. I mean, but what stipulations would you go to if they say, we want to put in advertisement?
That's different altogether. I have no problem with them advertising, provided I can say whatever I want about the ads before and after the ads.
Exactly.
If they're going to run a Gap ad, I can go off for 25 minutes about how much the Gap sucks, and then when they come back on, I can rip that ad to fucking shreds on the air. I have no problem running the ad, and as a matter of fact, that would be okay because people would listen to hear the ad because then they'd hear me shit kick the ad.
Just because they want to find out what the hell you have to say about it.
Yeah, because it'd be entertaining stuff. We wouldn't be regulated, period, at all.
Yeah.
Not even a little bit.
Because that would defeat the whole purpose.
And the minute we're regulated and, you know, somebody says something, because you guys know how I'm going to respond to stuff. I mean, that's half the fun on these interviews. You know, somebody says some pinheaded thing, and everybody's sitting there rubbing their hands, going, Sean's going to kill this guy, right? And if I don't kill that guy, I wind up being the security officer for Babylon 5 on the fifth season, and you're like, what the fuck? He never shot the bester, you know? And then you get all pissed off about it, and you're mad for like weeks and weeks. Not that I'm bitter.
Because we wouldn't want to change what we do. And
exactly.
If we did change what we do, we wouldn't be us anymore.
And we'd be made. More than that, we'd be made. You guys would know. You guys would know in a matter of seconds. It'd be like, whatever, you guys are fucked.
You guys will continue to do Rant Radio and Rant Media without a doubt, without ever having to sell out, regardless of the offers that may come out.
Well, we've had offers before.
Yeah.
We've had offers before, and we said no.
Because they weren't right. They didn't fit in with what we thought would be comfortable for us to keep going the way we're going.
Rant Radio, I don't think we'll ever make money. I don't think what we're doing with Rant Radio is going to ever really make money, to be honest with you. I want to start doing my writing and doing stuff online with my writing to make a few dollars. And if people want to support us in that, that's fine. We're going to do some stuff with Rant Radio and maybe some film. And if people want to donate for that, that'd be fine. But we've done Rant Radio for 4 years without any money. So how can we justify asking for money for Rant Radio? I mean, that just doesn't work. Like, yes, our investment is time for the payoff, folks. And now you must give us cash.
Yeah, in its current form, how can Rant Radio make any money? Because it's not a mainstream type station.
Yeah,
the only types of stations that make money are mainstream. That's because it panders to the lowest common denominator. Yep. There are no industrial radio stations over the air.
That's right.
Hence, that's why I put that, because they can't. This stuff isn't available.
I've often thought about going to MTV and saying, "Hey, you pinheads, how about I double your watching by becoming some kind of video DJ for industrial music?" Which I thought that'd be kind of cool.
That would be pretty cool. I remember a while back you had the offer from MTV for a show.
Yeah, that was a very weird episode of my life. It was like Spin Magazine ran the article, and then MTV is like, hey, we want you to do a show. And then I gave them a show concept, and I never heard back from them.
I remember the whole show concept, and then the devising of the runes that you would have scrolling across the bottom of the screen for the war orders for all the cult minions.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. There's a bunch of crazy ideas I had. Like, a lot of that stuff I just forget because I come up with it on the fly. And I'm serious.
New idea every hour.
Yeah,
it's like, boom, boom, boom.
Like, Sim has, like, it seriously has a taser to keep me in line.
So calm down, Sean. One idea at a time.
I I think the left side of my brain just, like, over OD'd. Like, the left side of my brain is, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and my logic side is, like, Woody Allen.
And if we did have enough time, heck, we'd do all those ideas.
Oh, yeah. If I had financial backing.
Time and money? Yeah.
Oh, man. If I won the lottery, no word of a lie.
Things would come true.
Oh, they're like people in Borneo would know my name, and name recognition around the world would be Sean Kennedy, God, Coca-Cola of the United States. That's how it would go.
Yeah,
it'd just be it'd be crazy. Not because I like being cool and trying to be cool and all that. You kind of get past that by the age of about 25, and you start thinking about what's important and just having fun.
Survival.
Pardon me?
Survival.
Yeah, survival is good. You know, getting enough Kraft dinner.
Yeah.
But. you know, there's only so long you can go, and, you know, man does not live on bread alone. You got to kind of look at bigger picture, I guess.
It's a matter of getting to the point of going home to eat your steak dinner, or in Sim's case, a leaf of lettuce. And
his tofurkey.
Tofurkey. I've never even eaten tofurkey.
Tofurkey, baby. I wish I could be a vegan, but I can't.
I can never do it. I like my dead cow.
Yeah. I like killing cows. But anyway, what...
I've also noticed on occasions you've made it a vocal that you guys have declined donations that have been sent in, or, you know, you don't necessarily decline them because it's money regardless. But
no, we do decline them.
Yeah.
Decline them. We tell people not to send us money. We don't want money.
Is there any reason for that, or is that just due to the morals and ideals of the radio station?
I was talking about this the other night with Sean.
Sure.
And the thing about donations is the money has to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. And for the money to go somewhere, we have to justify. We have to say, well, what do we need this money for?
That's right.
And right now, I can't really think or justify or show where money could go. Like, we're doing the station, and, well, it seems to be working okay, so why would we need money?
All right.
So that's one reason not to ask for cash. I actually suggested to him, shit, dude, why don't we just put up a donation site, and we'll split whatever cash comes in 50-50, and it'll help us both out. Because both of us, you know, hey, we could always use a couple extra dollars, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, but Sim's notion was, well, we really can't do that because for aforementioned reason. And then...
would you feel justified taking Billy's last $5 because he likes Rant Radio? We don't need the $5.
Yeah, not only that, but a lot of our listeners, I mean, let's be real, a lot of our listeners are not in the top 5% tax income bracket here, okay?
A lot
of our listeners do not have a lot of bread to throw around.
All right, most of them are, you know, the younger crowd of, you know, mid-teens to, you know, still in college.
That's right, and I'd rather them not do it. I'd rather them take that money, and everybody else on the planet wants their fucking cash.
Yeah.
And because we don't want their cash, it's a reason to trust us.
Right.
The way I'd like to see it is us making money from large corporations
to do
what we do right now.
Milk the man to fight the man.
Exactly.
Yeah, pretty much.
They have the large cash. We can get it from them.
I still think we should do like the Fight Club thing and run corporate ads and have me just shit kick these ads on the air afterwards. People would tune in for it. You'd get the ads out. Not only would people listen to the ads, they'd pay attention. To the ad.
Because there'd be commentary afterwards.
Because holy fuck, yeah, he's going to wig out about this and reveal all the dirty laundry. I mean, it'd be this very weird thing to do.
So do you think the Tariff 22 and the CARB situation kind of instigate the shift to a purely independent and get permission from all the independent artists?
Oh, yeah.
Well, when I switched to industrial and electronic, I started in that mindset anyway. But it sort of forced us to think about it in that respect, because if you don't have permission, you have to pay.
Cover your ass.
Yeah, you got to cover your ass, especially these large companies that pretty much are just going to tax us to death. But a lot of the bands that I play, because of the nature of industrial and electronic music, are small, and you can just email the actual singer in the band, and they go, yeah, of course.
Yeah, fucking A, more free promotion? You betcha, baby.
Yeah, where do these guys get played anyway? Not on mainstream, so we're like one of the biggest outlets for them. Rant Radio, number one industrial station on the internet.
Yeah, how would you like to be played on a station for free? We're not charging you. We do it all for free. Yeah.
How's
we're
that
cool.
for exposure, right?
Yeah, you, of course they're going to go for it.
They can't buy that. It's free.
Yeah.
Of course, I can't buy it. So, if you guys had the ideal offer and you had your full setup to doing a publicly or worldwide global radio station of industrial music with Rant Radio, what other shows would you do?
Oh, dope. Well, Sim, what shows would you do?
Well, I would probably do like one of. Spin a CD every week or whatever. I'd do my own little show or whatever. If I didn't have to work at work.
No, seriously. What he's saying here is that we've both been given X amount of dollars.
Yeah.
I don't know, fucking Ford and GM get together and sponsor us, and they give us, you know, $12,000 a month salary.
Yeah.
You know, and we get carte blanche to do whatever the fuck we want for shows.
I would probably do a show on commercialization.
Like a no-logo kind of...
No-logo Adbusters style, because I'm very, very interested in that.
You could run a vegan cooking show.
I could, but I don't really cook, so...
We'd have a vegan... We'd have a really extreme vegan cooking show.
Lettuce and tomato.
Yeah, lettuce and tomatoes. A dinner and a bean. I'd probably, let's see, what the fuck would I do? First thing I do is I would run a news program every single morning.
Yeah, that would be one.
I would get up every morning and I would do a news program every fucking morning. Every morning I'd do a news program. I think that would be really, really cool. So people could get up, go to work, log in, and I'd have like the daily news. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
You're kind of doing what we do now on Skull Crew with the audio news, the daily audio news.
Yeah,
that's right.
Which I'm like, dude, that's fucking hard. If you can keep that up, you know, fucking I salute, because that's I know exactly how hard that is.
We've managed to keep, we've had a couple bumps in the road of natural, you know, everybody getting a reality strike, but I think for the past month or so, we've been main stage, five different DJs every five days, Monday through Friday, every morning.
And
wow.
I bet you haven't focused entirely on the sniper every day either, huh?
Oh, no. We've had our sniper news, but it's been, I mean, a whole plethora of stuff. It's the news that, you know, you kind of need to hear.
That's right. Yeah, very good. And I've listened to a few of them, and some are pretty good. So that's
definitely, yeah.
I do a daily news show. Daily news show. I would hit all the conventions. I'd like to do a really hardcore travel show where you go to like crazy raves and just extreme situations and stuff like that. Kind of like a Michael Palin's around the world kind of thing, only I do it like from a really industrial or supernatural angle. I'd probably chase down some of the para stuff.
Yeah. Because all these questions sort of envelop the whole thing that Sean and I do. It's hard to limit to Just Rant Radio because we're a lot bigger than Just Rant Radio.
Yeah, like, I mean, you can only talk so long about industrial music. I mean, it's cool and all, and yeah, it makes
this
it great.
This is only the audio side of us. We have video side, too.
Yeah, I'd really like to run a... This is quite funny.
Sean around the world.
I'm really a big H.P. Lovecraft kind of Cthulian horror buff, so I'd really love to do some stuff... Really, really love to do some stuff around that because it's completely fictitious and fun, and it's escapist and whatnot.
See, some Cthulhu movie would be nice. That's definitely for sure.
Yeah,
yeah.
So,
and I probably do a Tales from the After Now video, like a movie. I'd like to.
It deserves
that.
It.
Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah.
Put it on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah, and I'd like to do something like that and actually have the budget to pull it off, but to write, produce, and direct. To be honest with you, I'd probably want to write, produce, and direct stuff.
Liberty. So, yeah. What problems in most of the counterculture and most of the internet society, since most of us tapped in, what problems do you see with most rant news radio sites, and what do you think is the best way to, I guess, fix them or to kind of give them the kick in the ass to go the right direction?
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one. Well, I've the thing that kills most organizations is they heap too much information on one person. And if that one person burns out or fucks up or quits or whatever, then the whole organization falls apart.
Yeah.
So what you have to do is you have to make sure that you got a tight unit of people who have a very clear communication and understanding about what's going on and what each person's job and function is. And there has to be a commitment there to follow through on it. Now, unfortunately, the more people you have involved with it, the more likely it is to fuck up. So
you have to find a nice balance.
Yeah, like every person has a 1% chance of error, you know, and then you got 100 people involved, you got 100% chance of error. So it kind of works like that. It sounds kind of crazy, but it does. It really does work like that. Sim and I think the show works because it's just Sim and I.
Yeah, we've pared it down to bare bones, and it works.
Yeah, and it's minimum. It hums along here. Some shows aren't as good as other shows, but you soldier through it, and you know, some nights, you know, it's like, well, whatever, Sean, you suck, but you work through it, and you just kind of stay professional in that, you know, we're here for the fans, and blah 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 blah.
The show must go on.
And the show has to go on. I mean, it's funny where, you know, it's become just part of life.
What problems have you encountered in becoming, I guess, the voice of the counterculture? That's pretty much how most people see you. Anybody who's known you as Colt,
you're scaring me over here.
You're an aging counterculture icon, Sean.
Shut up. I'm an aging counterculture. Me and Henry Rollins.
When I originally listened to Rant Radio, I heard the rants, and I heard about Colt, and I joined Colt, and I became, you know, a gargoyle, and like many the old schoolers is, you know, regardless that Colt is quote unquote dead, I'm still a gargoyle. That's just all there is to it. I still have the mentality. I still have.
Well, of course. I mean, there was gargoyles. All I did was I just gave it a name.
Yeah, right? you just specifics the name. Yeah. And
I didn't invent anything there. I mean,
But what problems have you encountered besides like the point to where you hit your ultimate rise, but it was also your ultimate downfall?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't think I've hit my ultimate rise. I still think that there's a lot of push left in the old goat here. I do think that, but I know what you're saying here. You're asking me, what are you asking me here? I'm completely lost. Applesauce. Alzheimer's strikes early. Sorry, what exactly is your question?
What problems have you encountered with setting up to becoming that type icon to where you have to almost maintain?
I never meant to become this kind of icon. That was a fucking accident. I've oft times said that I became the voice of a generation by default because they couldn't find anyone better. I would hand over the yoke in about 20 fucking seconds if somebody showed up and like, oh, I'll be the voice of the counterculture. All I did was just pick up a mic and start screaming, and other people started going, yeah, and that's how it worked.
Sean said the exact same things before he had a microphone in front of his
face. Yeah, that's no shit. That's why I got asked
to do the
rants.
That's the only difference.
I used to walk around in little circles, and I had my child is on fire syndrome, where I used to think that, you know, no matter what happens, people just, so, oh, well, that's life, you know, and these kids are burning and nobody seems to care, and it just made me nuts. And people laugh because people laugh at the rants, but why are they laughing? They're laughing because it's true, and it's an uncomfortable truth, but it's true. I mean, the rants are true. I mean, there's no question whether or not it's the truth. It's just that people aren't really there to face it, and I don't really understand that, and I've never understood that. But even when I was in the Army, I used to go off about how bullshit this all was and why the fuck are there so many Newfies here? You know, come on. It's supposed to be Canada, not the Newfie Mafia. And the guys used to laugh their ass off. I had sergeants in fucking stitches because it was true.
Right.
And so I guess...
This just happened by accident. I just saw Sean and said, Sean, you need to put a microphone in your front. More people need to hear you.
There's no fucking way we ever thought it would get this big.
No. No,
like, no chance.
In the beginning, it was like two people listening.
Yeah,
like,
it was bullshit. It was a hand job. It was just like, whatever. It was an excuse to get together and drink Dr. Pepper.
That's exactly what it was, actually.
Yeah, and that's...
It was a room full of friends.
Yeah, let's just... we'll watch a couple movies and yell into a microphone. You know, whatever.
You listen back in the days, there was more people in the room that there were listening.
That's right.
It's just people drinking Dr. Pepper, having
fun.
And
now, when you say it like that, though, when you're the voice of the counterculture, I'm like, holy shit, dude. I mean, you're kind of...
We sit back in our chair and go, whoa.
I mean, I think guys like Jello Biafra and stuff like that. However, I'll be honest, like I went to a Henry Rollins show and I was listening to Hank there, and he's a nice guy and everything, but I don't know, he doesn't really say much.
No, he doesn't. He's just a storyteller.
He doesn't have much of a point. I mean, I'd rather go listen to Jello, you know. Jello was a huge inspiration, so I'd probably...
Jello, oh God. Yeah. Number one.
Yeah, he's probably...
Icon.
I'd probably say he's the voice of the counterculture, not me.
The ultimate non-sellout.
Yeah.
Like, Jello Biafra.
Yeah, when you say no to Levi's and $100,000, I mean, that's pretty, you know, and you get sued and you lose all your music, I mean...
That is an example of somebody who sticks to his guns and his truths and beliefs through everything.
Yeah, that's some serious conviction there. So, you know, be it right, be it wrong.
What would Jello do?
Yeah.
What would Jello do?
What would WWJD?
Where have you found, I mean, it's a lot of your stuff comes from being, I guess, the underdog and the outcast and the...
Sure.
And the underling of society. Do you think that's all? It's also that typical thing where the geeks make more money has also kind of instigated you to become more charismatic in your vocal ways?
Oh, I see what he's saying.
Yeah.
No, I know what you're asking me here. No, it's funny.
Sean's always been charismatic.
I've always been charismatic because my family's been in show business for the last six generations. This is kind of the funny thing. My mother was a jazz singer who went by the name Susie Francis. And then her grandfather was a guy named Fran Dowie. If you do a search on the web for Fran Dowie, you'll get like a lot of feedback about this old vaudeville guy. And then my great-grandfather was a fellow by the name of Pops Dowie, who was part of the Dumbbells, which was a World War II entertainment troupe who used to go out and entertain the troops. And then my great grandparents were also involved with show business and stuff like that. So it's very funny that my family's been in show business all this time, and I wanted to be a soldier, and somehow I wound up getting involved in show business. And even when I used to go out drinking in the Army stuff, guys used to say I should be a comedian in that. And the problem with being a comedian is that there's no interaction. You don't... You know, I need to interact with people, and the radio station is a medium that gives me that. And
here's the perfect solution.
So here we are, yeah. So as for, was I bullied a lot? Oh, hell yeah. I got cigarette burns all up and down my arm. But the point is that did that, you know, was it because of that? Is that why I'm being all charismatic and stuff? No, quite honestly, the reason why I do what I do is because when I was a little person and scared and confused and didn't know if I was gay or straight, and you know, everyone was calling me faggot and I was getting shit kicked on the bus, and, you know, it's not the beating, it's the fear of the beating that's the really bad part. I had no one and I had nothing. And quite honestly, I want to let... A lot of these kids out there who do, like, because they talk about this anti-bullying bullshit now, but that doesn't mean fuck all. It's a big hand job to make parents feel better at their own inadequacies, because bullying still exists. I don't care how many fucking promotional parental videos you make, it's still going to fucking exist. There's not a goddamn thing you can do about it. The only thing you possibly do is probably teach your kids how to fight properly. And even then, I mean, you know, now it's savage. They got gangs and knives and needles and fuck knows what else. So I guess more than anything else, I want to let these kids know it's okay. Like, you know, you're going to be all right. I understand. I was there. You're going to be all right. Just, you know, fucking drive on. You know, don't do anything dumb. Don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt other people. And a lot of people take the don't kill yourself, kill other people thing, and they run with that. A lot of people run that one, and they think it's really funny. But that's what it is. It is funny. It's not a serious thing. It's exactly. It's just like you say, well, whatever, man. I'll kill you. You know, you don't mean that.
Right.
You just you're just fucking around. So
I think being the bullied one and the...
Being the victim?
Being the victim, yeah. The victim as a stand. Do you think that's also what puts you in touch with the counterculture?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Open your eyes more than anybody else?
The guy who introduced me to counterculture, there is a guy who introduced me to counterculture, and that's DJ Vortex, who on the old What the Hell archives. And DJ Vortex was the first guy to ever take me to a goth bar and get me drunk and teach me how to goth dance. And I wrote a poem about it, actually, when I was about 15 years old. And I used to hang out down at the Twilight Zone, which is that bar that was in that X-Files episode I talked about. And I used to drink and sneak in there and listen to Sisters of Mercy, and it was just fucking rad. And that's where it all started, because there was just these people, these glorious freaks wandering around. And I was like, wow, man, I want to be part of that. I want to, you know, I want these people, you know, to think I'm cool, too, and stuff. So that's probably where it all came from.
So do you think that... Since I know you guys, since you're in the five city of Canuckland, where you guys only have five real cities.
I'd say two, but anyway.
Yeah. Well, okay. I can agree with that one. Do you think that the North American counterculture, or just the counterculture in general in the larger mass areas, will ever agree to work together? Or do you think they're always just going to be doing the who's got the bigger match with one another and not really going against the greater good, so to speak?
Well... I really haven't found any difference around the world in terms of the people I've talked to about the support of counterculture and what we do. They all voice the same kind of opinion. You can't even tell where they're from. They speak English. It seems they're all the same.
Yeah, industrial is industrial anywhere in the world. But I think what you're asking about is you're talking about towards common goals and working together as a huge nation kind of thing?
Right. Do you ever think they'll be able to focus on one whole thing to actually kind of maybe disrupt the flow of balance?
I think it can be done, but it has to be done very specifically. The one thing I did learn from Running Cult was that if you're going to bring a lot of really angry, because the alternative crowd is angry. Okay, we're an angry bunch of people because, you know, for whatever reasons, whatever your reasons are, we're sick of being persecuted. Now the problem is when you get that many angry people together, if you don't have something to do, you're fucked. Okay, so you got to have a cause. Would they alive for a long time? No, but I think it is possible to bring everyone together for one thing, to bring everyone together for one unified thrust against something like clearing landmines or saving the rainforest. Or
not everybody believes in the same thing all
right.
the time. That's something you learned in cults. Like some people join some fights and some people join other fights. So it's pretty much a fight at a time. And whoever wants to jump on board and all the more power.
But if you wanted to have like a another thing I've wanted to do is I wanted to set up like a kind of a gothic industrial festival. Like I want to do that. And, you know, make it 7 days, blah, 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 blah. And you just kind of start it and you just see who jumps on board. And it's funny when you start something and say, well, blah, 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 blah. And there's lots of people who poke holes in it. But if you just sit there and say, I'm doing it, who's coming? You'd be surprised how many people get on the bus.
Because you can't poke holes in it then. It's like whatever the collective makes it into is what it becomes.
That's right. It's not a matter of I need you to do this. It's you. Instead of allowing yourself, instead of waiting for other people to empower, you empower yourself and therefore others. And that's how it works.
Exactly.
So do you think that from cult, I know you guys, I know Sean himself has inspired a lot of personal, like, groupies, so to speak.
not really. Not so many. I don't think.
I mean, it, as a whole, it's welled over into becoming Rant Radio groupies and fan base. Do you think that has that become the
Oh, fuck yeah. Without a doubt, we'd do it with two listeners.
Yep. I would, for sure. That's how it started, and it went that way for months. It's been slowly growing. I do it because I love it.
Yeah. Smokehouse is listening.
Yep.
Yeah, seriously. We do it.
We don't do it to gain monetary, don't gain it for fame. We do it because we want to do it.
I got a scenario to draw from this. Do you ever play Dungeons & Dragons?
Yes, I actually still do.
Okay. Are you a game master or are you a player?
I've done both. I wear both hats.
Okay, so what's the longest running game you've ever done?
I have played a campaign that's lasted 2.5 years.
Okay, whoa. So here's my question for you then. 2.5 years on a single campaign,
right.
And there's only like 5 people involved. Why do you do it?
Yeah.
It's the game. Yeah, it's the same reason I get up every Sunday. Well, like, for example, the group that I'm with now, every single Sunday we get together at high noon and we don't leave until we're done with our session.
That's right. And that's why. You do it for yourself. You do it for the group that's there. It's only 5 guys. So, I mean, role-playing games were like, 12 years of my life.
Right.
You know, that's what kept me from sticking needles in my arms. Thank you, Gary.
But
the role-playing culture, I mean, that's so deeply inlaid with the geek culture. I mean, you can make jokes about Thaco and saving throws till you're blue in the mouth and everyone on Slashdot will get it.
That's right.
And come on, give me a break. If everyone wasn't a bunch of gamers, how the fuck could we make so many jokes about Cthulhu and people get it? I mean, come on, there's not that many really bad 30s horror fans out there. So it's something that it's there. You do it because you can and because it's a fun thing. And a lot of people don't understand it, but the people who get it don't need much of an explanation.
And when I'm doing the show with Sean, I tune out sometimes. I'm just talking to Sean.
Just
me and Sean talking.
It's actually what we really do.
Yeah.
You know, it's an excuse for me and Sim to hang out, which is funny because we're friends.
Yeah.
And like, because lives are so busy, we don't even have a chance to hang out much. But Sim sees me more than any one of my other friends because I have the commitment to every Monday night being here, much like the role-playing games. You know,
yeah.
you don't see your friends any other day, but you look forward to next Sunday because, you know, hey, Daryl and Dave and Mark are coming over and we're going to be able to, you know, throw some dice.
Yeah, Nixter mentioned that when he was up there he said he was just sitting there and it looked like you two were just kind of staring at each other and making faces as you guys talk to one another. And
yeah, it doesn't make for interesting video, that's for sure.
Yeah,
the show is just me and Sean just talking back and forth about the stuff in the news and whatever. Like, we're just telling stories about what happened.
Yeah, if it was a serious game face kind of thing, I mean, there's no way we'd be able to keep it up for 4 years.
That no. would be possible. Well, I guess my last question, since I've kind of milked my ordeal of questions, what is the next step for you guys? What do you have planned?
Where do we want to go?
What isn't the next step? Oh, my God.
Oh, now that's a cop-out response.
No, it's not a cop-out. It's just an intro
all
to
right,
it.
All right.
We've got so many ideas. It's unbelievable.
Well, Sim's looking pretty hard at some film. You want to talk
we're moving into film. I'm liking the film thing because we've done the audio thing.
Yeah, and
pretty hard. So and Sean's good on film, it seems.
Yeah, and I actually did some screenwriting because bear in mind I wanted to be a writer. So I have some screenplays written and stuff like that. And I'm a very visual person. I can think about imagery and shit like that.
Sean's got great ideas.
Yeah. So
and we're both on the same wavelength.
Yeah, which is good. We're able to
always
like,
have been.
I'll be able to say we'll put like a low bass line with some German music in behind it and throw some choir on that and give it that really, and then I'll throw a description. You know, you start describing things with movie titles rather than with descriptive words. You know, we get the whole thing kind of Colonel Kurtz-ish.
Boom.
And you're like, wham, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So, I mean, the communication's there and that really works well.
And this whole thing's a very good learning experience for both of us. Like, we're learning as we go.
Yeah.
Like, that's how the radio show was.
Sim wants to get more into film.
Yep.
To be honest with you, I'd really enjoy getting into my writing, which is kind of funny that it would go full circle like that. But I mean, I've got recently I've been going over my books and I've been getting them ready and I'm thinking about releasing those.
And you can see it in the after now.
Yeah.
Because he's just telling his stories.
And these are just stories that I'm making up on the fly almost, you know, because I miss role playing. I miss doing the games, you know, and that's why, you know, I became a writer was because, you know, no one wanted to play in my games anymore because all the characters were too bleak. And it was like, you know,
It was
about adapting the after now idea and the world that you begin to create with the 9 episodes that you have. Have you ever thought about trying to adapt that into some form of like television show for the sci-fi or?
Would
I ever? Yeah. I've got three or four different television show ideas running around in my head. Doing a Tales from the After now would probably be fairly inexpensive until you start getting into the large burned out cities and stuff. If I could get an animation team, like guys who do 3D animation together, who we could like shoot film and then send it to them and have them do model work and stuff.
Right.
We'd probably do a movie. Rather than do a television show, I'd rather do movies, like a set of movies, because that way it's got a definite beginning, a middle, and an end.
You can really plan it out, and here it is, the movie.
Here's the film, right? Versus a serial.
Half an hour is so limited for telling a story like that. Yeah. I mean, just the audio parts are an hour long.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's not even enough, right? You want more.
And I'd love to put out some literature and do some writing on After Now and stuff like that, but all in good time, right? I want to chase down the stuff that I've already started. And Smokehouse said, I've got media ADD where I can't finish anything I started. But it's funny, a lot of people are like, oh man, he never finished that. Well, there is no end to it. It doesn't end. There's no end to the episodes. I never intended it to have an ending. So, I mean, how do you finish
Sean
something
dies.
That has no... And then Sean dies. Oh, well, he did, you know... God damn it, he only did 156 episodes. You know, like, Jesus, you know, what do you want from me here?
I think everybody has the multiple project syndrome where they have, like, 60 projects going on, but which one are they focused on at this current time, so...
Yeah, it's hard because each project gets fans.
Right.
And no matter what you do, you wind up carrying the donkey through the town. You know, there's nothing you can do. You can't make everyone happy. So it's one of those kinds of things. So I'd like to... Sam would like to go further into film. I'd like to assist with that. I'd like to do more film. And I'd like to take a big step back, actually. I'd like to really, really play up the horror goth angle. Because no one's ever actually read... Well, the people who have read any of my horror writing are usually pleasantly surprised by it because it's...
Sean's very secretive about it, too. Never lets anybody read it.
Well, because it's shit right now. I have to edit it. I mean, it needs work. But it's good stuff, and the writing style is very similar to Richard Layman.
It's very, very scary. Very descriptive. And
yeah,
like,
you've read it. You've read it. So it's very similar to Richard Layman, where it's not like, you know, you're not reading 30 pages about what's on the newspaper that the cat's shitting on, like Stephen King does. And
quite horrific, actually, and... brutal.
Yeah,
some of the descriptions,
it's a little bleak, but that's the reason why I can do cyberpunk well, because cyberpunk is horror,
right?
And a lot of people don't realize that. So I've got some neat ideas for alternate worlds regarding to horror and the occult and stuff, and I'd like to chase that.
That's very cool. Well, I do believe that's all the questions that I have, and I thank you guys for taking the time to do the interview.
You betcha, man.
No problem.
When's this going to be aired?
I'm not sure.
Well, we'll be airing it next week.
Yeah, it'll be on next Monday night show. Is that okay?
Fine. That's perfectly fine. I have no problems with it. What we're going to do is we're going to take the final audio cut of it and kind of go through it and pull out the...
They're going to edit what
you
we could say.
You're going to edit? Oh, my God. I guess it's a little bit harder because you've got to put up a smaller,
that's
concise
all,
thing.
It's all good, man. We're
it's
just
all
fucking
cool.
around.
Yeah. It'll definitely probably be left in its entirety as it stands right now. We may actually kind of jump some stuff around and, you know, clip it to kind of fit the flow better, but...
I know you're going to put it into a sampler and piece together sentences word for word and make us look like fools, right?
Yeah, we're going to make our spokesman for the... new corporation that I just got hired with. And
I've got a question for you.
Sure.
And this is something that we don't get because we're not out there. We're not fans.
We're not on the other end.
Is there like secret stuff that gets transferred between fans, like media and shit? That I've got this, you know. And who's got a copy of that? Like the original Virus Manifesto that's really rare.
I actually still have a copy of the PDF.
Oh, wow. So now, after you run this, then everyone's going to be like, oh, I want to copy the original PDF and stuff.
I have the, looking into my little archive of stuff, I have the original Virus Manifesto PDF. I have the cult acceptance video, which you did on your little
webcam.
Your email.
Yeah.
I don't have that.
While back.
I want that.
Is there like a bit of a collection going on among certain people?
I think most of it resides with the Wonder Cripple.
I thought so, yeah. Look at his worship page. And
yeah, well, it's not really a worship page. He's my press manager. To be honest with you, you know what? If I ever did make bucks, I'd be cutting Smokey in for some of it, because I just can't believe how...
Just compiled most of his artwork that he did for Cult, like with the web pages and whatnot.
Oh, wow.
I think he still has like a lot of the original layouts and so forth with himself. I know most of the people who have worked with it and did projects for anything have kept it if people could grab hold of it, because... What happened is it was such a flurry at the end, nobody really kind of, it was kind of, you log in one day and, okay, wait a minute, there's nothing here.
oops.
Burn, you know, and that's, and kind of stockpiles as much as possible, but it's a matter of people asking the right people. So many people are afraid to ask other people for information. It's gotten to the point of, well, no, I don't want to ask anybody, but I really, really want that. So they, everybody has what they're looking for, but nobody has the balls to ask for it.
It's just funny because I wonder about that sometimes. Like, I wonder if secretly the Bloodstained Rabbit is circulating around with fans.
And yes, it is.
Is it?
I received my copy of it last week.
He received his copy.
Are you serious?
I'm not shitting you. That's I have it in my mailbox.
No, you didn't read it, did you?
I will. I plan to read it. I'm going to read it. And
who gave it to you? That's it. Time for the blade.
Those guys in the IRC.
Those guys.
Awesome. Well, you know what? That it's not finished. Okay, just when you read it.
Yeah. Well, that's what. And every time I've heard about the Bloodstained Rabbit, Kexler told me about the Bloodstained Rabbit. He's like, dude, that's great. I wish you would have finished it. So I know it's an incomplete work, but he said it's why, you know, it's just you got to read it, and you just got to be. It's just like the Aftermath. We've gotten our tap in, and yeah. We're frothing at the mouth. And
well, wait for it. If you guys like Bloodstained Rabbit, wait till you guys read the Scabbed Wings of Abaddon.
Oh, we're looking forward to it. I can tell you that.
Yeah, it's. It's 200 on 8x10. It's 234 pages long right now, and it's probably going to be down around 200 by the time the editing process is done because I keep it really fucking lean.
So you still ever going to produce the next book?
The Book of the Damned?
Yes, the Book of the Damned.
Yes, that will be running under Saibudo, the Book of the Damned, and what that's going to be is how I'm going to. What that does is that's. I want to keep it with the original concept. I do want to run that, but when I do it, I want it to be... it has to be written very carefully and has to be written properly.
Right.
Because no. if I just... Like, I know that the problem, what happens when you just crank something out and throw it out to the wolves, everyone... They're
tear it apart. Yeah, find inconsistencies.
Yeah, and they're chomping at the bit. They want the good stuff, but, I mean, I've got to make sure that what I'm turning out is good stuff. So, yeah, I will. It'll probably be in the form of a fiction story so that you can get something more out of it. But we'll see how it goes.
Very cool. Well, on that turn, do you guys have any questions for me? I mean, is there anything that you...
Oh, that was all I want to know. I want to know if there was secret stuff being circulated.
That's good, because you know you start on that, so... But
does Sim have a fan group? Like, does he have, like, a bunch of chicks who are all crazy about him?
I don't know. I don't tap in the IRC too much. I really just log in on Monday nights when I can to grab the URLs. I typically tune out of IRC. I'll watch the chatter go by, but I just wait for the posting of the link, grab it, post it on the Skull Crew, and so that when it's... done, I can slap it up and have it up before, you know, it's even, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning. I try as much as possible. I don't try to get into the...
What do your friends think of all this shit, man?
Actually, one of the guys I work with, he found you. I gave him the link to Rant Radio. I said, here, go check out Rant Radio. You may like the Sean Kennedy Show. And he's like, okay. And he is now the frothing fanboy of Sean.
Really?
Wow.
He is all about Sean, and he, one day we're at work, and we're working on a system, and we're testing a scanner, and I do computer repair, and right. He was testing the scanner, and he ran off, and he came back, and he grabbed some money and started scribbling something down. I said, what the fuck are you doing? And he's like, oh, well, Sim said I must promote Rant Radio, and he...
I must promote Rant Radio.
that's awesome.
That's very, very cool.
Scanner and scanned it in, and left it on the customer's computer. snatched the $5, and then he... You know, but he actually left it in the person's scanner, the $5 bill in the person's scanner. He called me. He's like, "Dude, could you like get that out of the scanner before they come and pick it up?" I was like, "Yeah, I'll go get it for you." he's actually taken your rants and he's burned them to an audio CD and he plays them for his friends at school.
Oh my God! Wow.
So what he does is he takes them and he plays them and says, "Here, check this out." And he plays them when he gets out. You know, when they get out of class or when they get out of school, they go to his car and they'll listen to a few rants.
It's like the underground tapes. Here, you gotta listen to this
actually,
guy.
We tuned in to the audio news in class. You know, he has a tech class, so he can actually tap in and, you know, plug in some headphones. And he says he'll download the audio news every now and then, listen to the news and stuff like that, and let everybody else listen to the news. So he's become the... He's the first... I have other friends who know of it, but it's mainly my entire social group on the net is from Colt. And so, therefore, everybody knows about Sean. We already know about Sean and da-da-da-da. Wow. So... It's not too many new people, but
where's the major focus? Like, if you were to say one city had all the Rant Radio fans, like if Sim and I were going to take a road trip, okay, we're going to take a road trip and we were going to go to some kind of con or something like that. What would be the best one for us to go to that you think would be most central where all the Rant Radio fans could get there?
I know that Dragon Con is the largest gaming convention in the Southeast, and that's based in Atlanta.
Right,
but that's over near me. I'm over on the East Coast.
Right,
so. East Coast visit, maybe Atlanta, maybe somewhere in that region, maybe the best, because Atlanta's their national airport, anybody can fly into it. maybe DEF CON.
Probably a good pull for the forums.
Las Vegas DEF CON.
Yeah.
That could be your West Coast hot spot, I would say. I mean, because you're already in tap with the gaming community, so it's real with ease you can fall into that and enjoy yourself, too.
Yeah, which would be cool. Yeah, it'd be nice for promotion, too, because a lot of the literature in that.
Gen Con up in Columbus, Ohio.
What time is it?
Other big gaming convention. Any I guess, comic book hacker convention.
I just was wondering if you knew of, like, a con where you went and everybody kind of knew who we were. You know, there's, like, 700 people.
I think the biggest like, similarity thing is, like you said, the role-playing community is the geek community. So just
pretty much.
One facet of it. And I think it's most of those people... Although some of them smell funny and they're all Klingon outfits.
We all smell funny. I've got Sith robes.
So, but it's one of those places to where you could fully express, you know, it's like, here, I can wear my counterculture garb, even though it's 115 degrees outside. So,
yeah, well, I did it at fucking Burning Man.
Well, I mean, if you can deal with the heat, let's see, the thing about there is, I don't know how high is the humidity over at Burning Man.
There is no humidity.
Zero.
Yeah, you're living on chalk.
See, that's the difference. Down here, it's 100 degrees plus 100% humidity.
Oh, my God. I'd be living in a dryer vent. No, that's hell.
So,
no, that's fucking evil.
I've become accustomed to it, but I'd probably say your hotbed cities are going to be someplace like Las Vegas, maybe L.A., but I don't think that's too trendy. Maybe San Diego, I would say. Atlanta, maybe Chicago, maybe up to New Jersey, New York area.
I think New York would be a good place.
So, I wonder whatever happened with Cult Europe, if we're still running around Europe at all.
I think Tenshi's still over there, pounding away, doing his thing.
Well, Sabo's still over there doing his
thing.
That's
right, yeah.
Anyway, buds, we should probably wrap her up here, because I'd like to get a break before the show starts. Yep. But
I know you guys got to do what you got to do and get collected.
And thank you for those questions, because...
that's probably the best interview we've had so far.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Very difficult questions.
Yeah, they're
we
good
like
ones.
Them.
All right, thanks a lot, man.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.